to shake some 15-year-old's hand from Dollar. He just made 36 off of like 45 overs.
A few
congratulating him. He should be fucking, you should be dragging him off the park.
Sports fans, it's a long-awaited return of Matthew Parker to bring up
fucking turn on, mate.
The halfway up middle half century, dashing through for our 50 hoggy. You obviously were a scorer of runs. Did you ever remove the lid for 50 and acknowledge the applause?
Never for 50. No, I didn't. I didn't actually do it for 100 either.
Ooh,
nah. I think if I'd scored 100 that was actually half decent and in a second innings, then I might have done. But I never did that, so I wouldn't take my helmet off.
Did you not get 100 in that great chase against Watsonians back in 2019 when I should have had you caught a point?
No, I never scored any hundreds against Sonians, like.
Was that, you batted the whole inning. You must have got an 80-odd at least, I thought, that day. It was pretty good.
Maybe, yeah, but no, never. No, I wouldn't celebrate getting runs against Watsonians. But I don't know about you. Like, it really fucking annoys me how some people celebrate, especially first innings runs. Do you know what I mean?
Why is that, mate? Why is that? Go on.
Just
because the match is in the balance, match hasn't been won.
Pretty much. And I know it's like in football and whatever, you score and you celebrate. I get that. But like, there's just so much more that goes into a game of cricket than someone scoring. Yeah.
I hear you, mate.
It's just, I don't know.
Hog, I never got the chance to ask you this a while ago, but what about people congratulating batsmen scoring run from the opposition team? What you got to say about that?
That is just private school filth that's infiltrated the real game. Yeah. MCC. That's what happens at MCC. Imagine. Oh, it makes me sick even thinking about it. Imagine Pete McSimchick, 38-year-old, running in from fine leg to shake some 15-year-old's hand from Dollar. He just made 36 off of like 45 overs. Congratulating him. You should be dragging him off the park.
I've got a few issues. First, I've got my age wrong. I'm 39, right? Okay. Get it right, right? Secondly, I'm kind of with you in so much as, look, when I play an MCC game, it's all a bit nufty and it's all a bit like, yeah, well done or whatever, yeah? But I'm not a great believer in, during the game itself, you know, somebody gets a 50 or 100, particularly in the first innings, and you've got to go, all, you know, well battered, give us, yes, shake a hand. Look, off the pitch, with a beer, I think it's always nothing wrong with acknowledging somebody for a good knock, like, especially if it's somebody you know or whatever like that.
Oh, but, for sure.
But I've got, I'm with you. So you can go and shove your private school MCs tarring everybody with the same brush shite as you usually do and shove it right at the ass.
Yeah, that is true. It's definitely come from that type of cricket, but it's infiltrated the normal cricket, whereas people do it. I remember you get noised up by that, Liam, don't you?
Oh, mate, it's like, boils my blood. It's not a lot of things that do, and I'm a pretty tolerant human, like, but it's just come into the game recently, and I see these things, and it just annoys me. Anyway.
You know what boils my blood, Liam? Is
go for it, Pierre.
You calling umpires sir as well to just try and buy wickets.
I know. He's never called anyone else sir in his life.
He calls umpires sir. Unbelievable. So, you know, he talks about how that boils his blood, but you know, he still schmoozes up to umpires. Probably slips. Goodness knows what else.
He coaches up to them in the showers as well.
Here we go.
I've seen that firsthand.
Unbelievable. Wow. Yeah, there is a story there, but not that's for another day. Right, lads, like we always say, shall we talk a little bit about cricket now? Off the field matters first, Pierre, and this is probably one for you rather than Hoggy, who probably isn't even aware of this yet, which kind of sums up the findings of the report, really. But the McKinney report, which is kind of rolled out this week, commissioned by the government body, Cricket Scotland, in relation to its treatment of females, women, girls, cricket in Scotland. Pierre, surprised by the findings or as expected?
I think the biggest surprise was the fact that this report, or it's not an investigation, it's a report, was happening, and the speed with which it's kind of come about. I think I've read the report. I know, Liam, you mentioned to me that you also have as well. It's absolutely awful in truth in some respects. And it's, I think I said this about the racism review, there's a lot to unpick here, and the headlines are obviously terrible yet again for Cricket Scotland, and quite rightly so. A lot to unpick in so much as when you read the report, this can get bundled up in the press as being, you know, Cricket Scotland is both racist, sexist and misogynistic, right? Okay. And that'll be the headlines, and that has been the headlines. When you read the report, there's a lot of different things, in my opinion, going on here with this report. I think that the unsurprising thing, but yet the worst aspect of everything, is the clear workplace bullying that is sexist in its nature, that is very clear from this report. And I'll put a full stop there. Gus Mackay was the worst appointment that Cricket Scotland have ever made. Second full stop, right? And the people that were appointed that individual and were responsible for these things, and my understanding is a number of them have moved on from the organisation, and that is absolutely right, because this has been an absolute mess for so long. What this report also highlights, which I think is very, very important, is that there is a long way to go, but there has been a turning point in some respects, and the post-2022 aspects of the report are somewhat positive. There are other facets to this report around parity and attitudes towards women playing cricket, which is again incredibly poor in many respects. We are all human beings at the end of the day, and it is so important that we all want to play cricket, and nobody is more important than the next person when it comes to their ability to be able to play cricket and the resources available to them to be able to play cricket. There is a huge amount of disparity when it comes to cricket more globally between men and women, as there is in many sports, as there is in more aspects of life. And a lot of this report touches upon that as well. And maybe Cricket Scotland could become role models and leads in terms of moving that forward. But it's a long road ahead. Sorry, that's my kind of summary on it, I guess.
Yeah, we've seen a response and such from Tony Bryan, who doesn't seem to have or to share your views, Pete. He's quite annoyed, or upset that the kind of persons surveyed, and that there wasn't so much an investigation into it. It's more like you said earlier. Did you see the article regarding that?
I did see the article regarding that. I think it's really important that we distinguish between this report here that's been provided by McKinney HR around, you know, that's been done in a quick manner, and is, I believe, what's the phrase they've used? It's a neutral assessment. It's very different to the report that Plan for Sport has done around racism in Scottish cricket. I've seen Tony Bryan's comments today. I saw them on Crick Info, and I think that it's difficult because he was obviously in amongst this. He was the chair during this period that is under quite a quite critical period, and I imagine he was quite heavily responsible for the appointment of the senior leader who is being highlighted in this report as behaving poorly. Now, I think it's worth saying that we've got to take reports to extent on face value. In this instance, that I've heard enough noise elsewhere to know that I to feel confident about naming certain individuals in this instance. But Tony Bryan's comments are interesting because he sort of talks about the fact that, well, there's 41 employees at Cricket Scotland, only 21 were surveyed. Reading the report, they were all asked, 45 people were asked as staff at Cricket Scotland to whether or not they wanted to contribute to this. And the gender split is even when it comes to the survey that was being provided. I can understand an individual wanting to defend their actions and their behaviours and feel that it's a bit of a witch hunt, and I totally get that. And some of his comments are probably, in some respects, fair. And everybody's entitled to an opinion, and it's not, we're not here to dismiss opinions. But I think the fact, the most important thing and really impressive thing, I believe, is that Cricket Scotland, yet again, the current organisation of Cricket Scotland, are owning this and trying to find a way forward. Rather than trying to sort of defend themselves, and that's probably the right approach, I would say.
Yeah, you'd like to think that obviously Trudy, who's new to the organization, she's come out with, like you say, pretty strong comments regarding it, and about the findings of the report and the need to address the findings and improve things and overhaul things. And you'd like to think someone like herself is more than capable of kind of leading that change. Tony Bryan obviously speaks about the increase in participant numbers and things like that. I'd say that's obviously a good thing. But that's maybe more of a involving women in sport in the general terms in the whole country rather than a targeted approach by Cricket Scotland. Maybe I'm wrong. But numbers have greatly improved. I think if you look at things from like a club cricket point of view, you think about how clubs are run and committees are run. It's often by, like the report says, it's often by older males, and they kind of need to get females involved in decision making processes in clubs. I know at Strathmore where I am, we have a female vice president and we have two further females on our committee. So. I think that is important. I think that is something that we need to be doing more of. I think listening is another thing, and that's kind of another key conclusion of the report is that the employees, I think players are included as well, didn't feel like they were listened to or their opinions were taken on board. Even little things, Pete, I was reading stuff about it, you know, like real basic stuff like that the women's senior team didn't have. It was the kit manufacturer didn't cater for females. So it was like male kit for female cricketers. It's just absolutely bonkers in 2024 that's going on and that couldn't be addressed and fixed. And other misgivings as well on tours, players not having the names on kit and not having their caps for new players and stuff like that's, you know... Yeah. That is, and you could only imagine what would happen if that was in the men's senior team and stuff like that. It would be addressed quickly.
I agree wholeheartedly, Liam, and I think it's important we listen to that, and it's important that the organisation listens to that. I think when people have read the report, it goes back to things that we've said so often on this podcast, which is this. Somewhat shambolic state that Cricket Scotland have been in previously, and this kind of lack of strategy, and I empathise in some ways because I think there are a lot of good people that have been in this organisation, not necessarily at the very top, but in the middle, who are trying to run around without much direction, without much ability, or not necessarily autonomy, but kind of ownership, but they're trying to provide as best they can, but with a complete lack of resources. A lot of, I think, the focus around Cricket Scotland has been this idea of getting full member status. And a lot of that was heavily reliant on the performance of the men's team. And as a result, a big focus in that space. The idea being that if we achieve that, then we unlock a lot of money and we can rebalance the kind of gender disparity. Now, it's probably that, let's on reflection, not a great way to go about things, let's be honest, and that's how it's presented. It's difficult. We're sitting here with the benefit of hindsight. Undoubtedly, though, as you say, some of those comments, Liam, around the kit, around accessibility to sports psychologists, around accessibility to training facilities and things like this. I know one of the recommendations is around a balancing of parity around pay for the men's and women's squads. I think in all circumstances, these things need to be balanced. I think it's very, very difficult in some respects. Some things are within the hands of Cricket Scotland because, things like accessibility to staff, that should be even. Of course, it should be even. I think when you look at the commercial aspect that goes beyond Cricket Scotland around the ICC in general and how much the men's game generates compared to the women's game, I'm not saying that's acceptable, but that's a reality. And the global game and society in general needs to do far more to level that balance. Given we're a small organisation trying to punch above our weight, maybe Cricket Scotland could be trendsetters in this regard. I know the American national football team have done something around gender, parity between the men's and women's squads. The challenge you've got with that is because Cricket Scotland are so cash poor, what you're going to do is end up pulling all the wages off the men's team to balance the books. And that impacts individuals, and that is a problem in itself. So it's a very complex situation, and certain sort of outcomes of this report are very are very difficult to achieve in a fair way. But what is currently happening is also unfair. The resources are limited. The organization is stretched. However, there does seem to be strategy. There does seem to be a lot more balance. One area of psychological safety that's so important in workplaces environments, that's really seen a significant shift and positive shift there. And, when things are going in the right direction, hopefully they can build momentum. It comes from the top. It comes from leadership. And having a female leader, I think that will, I hope, start to see some real balance. Ultimately, we just want to see success across the game in the country and people playing more of the game. We want to see success for the men's, women's, and obviously the junior teams as well. I think everybody does. And if you've not got that attitude, with respect, we don't want you in this game.
Fair, Pete. Yep, fair, mate. Do you know, it's funny because it's not funny, but you look at these things and you reflect on your own kind of behaviours and practices. Halfway up middle has done 50 pods. We've had one female guest. Do you know what I mean? Although we do talk about the women's game, we do talk it up, rightfully so. We've only had one on. Abby Aitken-Drummond came on and spoke a good few pods ago. But some medicine for everyone, really.
Yeah. And I think it's funny because you reflect on those sort of things. I reflect personally on my attitude. I used to think, to be honest with you, I'll be frank, my attitude towards my enthusiasm for watching women's cricket was 10 years ago, absolutely dreadful. It was poor. It was, and look, we've all got a right to choose what we watch on the telly or watch when we go out to cricket grounds and things like that. But in investing the personal commitment of trying to go, do you know what? I'm passionate about Scotland. I'm passionate about this game. I want to see more of it. I want to watch more of it. It actually, being open-minded to that is so gratifying. And I just think, if we can, I know there are so many people with that attitude out there, and we just need to, it's important that we reflect and we need to get more women guests on this program.
100%. We'll move on and we'll speak a little bit about the men's senior squad suffering a little bit out in the heat of Dubai just now. Pete, it was the strongest ever squad on paper, according to some. Do you still stand by that?
I've been made to look like a right fool, eh? Oh, dear. Yeah, I still stand by on paper. I think they're a great squad. I'm excited. I think I'm excited about the future of the men's team, for sure. And there's been some decent performances. This has not been a great collective tour, to say the least. I've got so many questions about it. I know that Hoggy's burst into tell me to wind my neck in, and he's going to tell me about the team in 1999 and how much better they were and all the rest of this. But I still stand by. I think that the Curry brothers look really promising. I think that it's such a shame that Chris Soule's been injured for this one. Brad Wheel. I think the bowling attack, there's so much rotational opportunity there. The batting has been somewhat disappointing, but on sluggish pitches. And the big disappointment for me is, and it's going to happen when you're a young player and you had a great last summer, is Brandon McMullen, who I must be injured because he's not bowling. But yeah, we are a bit light in the bat, aren't we?
Hoggy, sort him out, mate.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. Fair enough. He accepts it. Did you agree, Liam?
What, do you think the strongest squad ever?
Aye, on paper. Don't mix Pete's words. You said on paper.
Yeah, on paper, no. It's a good squad. There's depth. There's players that used to play that aren't playing.
Exactly, yeah. I hope, Pete, you don't think that's me saying that it's a bad squad. If they'd beaten Canada by 10 wickets, the UAE by 400 runs each innings, you still would be fucking wrong by saying they're the best squad on paper. No doubt about it, it's a strong squad. And they've just maybe been a bit of an excuse saying they're getting caught cold against Canada, but it's they've just not played. And it's, I think if they stayed out there for a month and played more and more, then it'd be even. And it was kind of disappointing. They got pumped twice by Canada, but they think of the positives. They got a good win against the UAE today in the T20.
Yeah.
I think you know, any squad or any club, whatever they play, they're gonna experience dips in form, aren't they? They're gonna experience times where changes in the squad might lead to abject performances. I think, Pete, you obviously touched on Brandon McMullen. He played so well last year that we didn't even miss Cloudy. One of the best bats in the last 20 years goes away, and he's not even missed because McMullen just continued and bowled and batted superbly nearly every time he played. This tour, it's not been as easy for him. Perhaps he's injured.
Has he been away? Has he been abroad in the winter? Was he in the UAE or something for a T10 comp or something?
Well, his name was in it. He was picked, but I never really saw any footage of him appearing there. I don't know really what happened there. But yeah, I think, you know, on reflection, I think I was so buoyed last year by the way that the squad replaced Kutzer and Cloudy's runs. And you thought, well, actually, that's pretty good. You know, there's a bit more depth than I thought in that space. And then you look at all the bowlers and names coming in there. And it's like, I think that was one thing that I think got me excited, probably potentially as a club bowler, was the fact that, you know, there's real depth in terms of just genuinely good seam pace, seam bowling, and a bit of diversity there with the left armer. Chris Soule being, you know, over 90 mile an hour fast bowler. You know, you've got the spin options there as well. That was getting got me so excited. Knowing that you've still got Michael Jones on the outside, you know, Chris McBride didn't even get picked. That's why I was like, geez, the depth of this side's really promising. And I still have high hopes for the T20 World Cup in the summer, but yeah, I caught cold, a lot of responsibility on young shoulders potentially. Canada look well organized. Canada look really organized. I think they're going through a bit of a renaissance as a team as well, which is really good for international cricket.
Yeah, Hoggy, I know you spoke well with the guy Harsh Thacker in both of his innings against Scotland. He looked a player, didn't he?
Easy to say he's a good player when he scores two tons, but just like made it look so easy that second game, chasing that score. Like, he's got the team into a position where they're going to win that game 9 times out of 10, but he still could have thrown it away easily and left someone else to get them over the line. But he was just so controlled and bad, class. But yeah, the bowling attacks, it's tough. Like, it's a bowling out there, it is difficult. I would have loved to have seen Jack Jarvis. The way he bowled today, I would have loved to have seen him play in that game. Just would have given something different. And I know you're obviously Brad Currie bowled really well today. Totally different type of bowler I love how Jack Jarvis runs in and tries to get wickets. It's not fancy, do you know what I mean? He just runs in and deck bashes, obviously knows what he's doing, but I'd like to see him get a proper run in the team. If you can get these county superstar second team boys out of the team, bowing fucking 75 mile an hour in swingers.
You've got a real issue with left arm seam. I've always said that, but no, I'd love to see Jack Jarvis. He's 20 years of age, could be playing for Scotland for the next 15 years. So absolutely, I mean, and it was great to watch him bowl today. And I think there was a real issue with the balance of the side. I think on one occasion where what he was coming seven or something like that. I mean, I think Jack Jarvis is a genuine all rounder. I think maybe he needs to make a decision about where is he more of a bowler than a bat or whatever. But he certainly can offer a position there at 6-7. I'd have thought that. Is important. I'm certainly not disputing getting Jack in the side more. I think it's just that I'm excited because there's just so many options there. Even if they're domestic, if they're playing county cricket, that's good. That can only be good for the game. They've not had a great tour. The first T20 was really poor as well with the bat. I know it's sluggish wickets, but yeah, there's a few people just not quite get at it at the moment, is there?
Mm-hmm. Hogg, have you played on that pitch before at Dubai?
I pumped plenty of times.
Huge.
I've never won a game.
Is it huge?
The actual ground, the oval? Yeah, fairly big, yeah. Bigger than fucking Cartema in Benamaldina, that's for sure.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right, Pete, about boys just being a little bit out of form and stuff like that. I also think, and what you're saying about the team not being balanced enough, I think that does come into it where I think they are searching for a team and a way of getting everyone in. And they're obviously, they haven't found it. They need to... They almost need to try and settle on 11 and give that 11 a run. I know conditions and whatever come into it, injuries. Obviously, Umid, he would have played in the 4-1 dares, you'd think, over in the batting. But, yeah. Is Tier away home?
He played today.
Oh, did he, mate? I'm miles off it. He played today, so where did he bat?
So four,
actually...
It?
Mate, that batting lineup's disgusting, actually. Did you see where Leesky batted?
Yeah.
Jack Jarvis not
below Jack. Yeah, I did wonder that.
Crossy batted ahead of him. Like, get a fucking grip, honestly. It's Pete, I know you say he's this and that. It's a joke. It blows my mind. It honestly blows my mind. And I know you're saying it was me that said it, is T20 average. Is not great, but like, is he'll average batting like six, seven for the 50 T20 games that he's played. He's only batted in 43 of those games. Like, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind, Leesky averages double that at least if he bats in the top three. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
I get what you're saying, but who closes out the innings? Who's playing that role?
Leesky averages 16. He doesn't close it out in 43 games. So what's the point of keeping him at seven? Like, here's one for you, Pete, right? Here's one for you. Who opens a bowling for Watsonians? Pratt. Tom Pratt runs in, gets twatted for 24 off the first over, right? Off Munsey. Munsey's fucking Chinese cut one for four, and then hit a really nice one through cover, hit one for six, whatever. So you're up against it. You're on the other end. Who do you want to be bowling to? Brendan McMullen with two men outside the ring or Leesky? It's like, if you say Brendan McMullen, you're a liar.
Well, you say that, but Brendan McMullen last summer...
Mate, Brendan McMullen's a brilliant player. Absolutely. I know.
Clearing it out. He was straight rate was about 160.
I know against Germany, but like, it's just a waste of Leeske. If you put in every single cricketer that's ever played for Scotland, ever, right, that's batted in the top eight in any game for Scotland, and ask them, can you please just go and hit Mark Wood for six over his head, first ball? Only one person's going to be able to do it, Leeske. Well, he did it. But it's just, it blows my mind how he's just wasted. Wasted. And he's just played 150 games, I know, but like, he needs to be used better.
Right. So,
the problem is,
what batting order would you have then? What, based on what, you know, you're saying that, but in all honesty, I'm not averse to that.
I would say in that squad that you've got there, I think Ollie deserves a run in the team. So I would say him, I'd say Munsey, go out and twat it. Like, you could literally shut your eyes and just whoever's padded up first out of the three of them, used to go first, and whoever's last, you can bat three, and just let them go out and smash it in six overs. You could be on 120 in six overs with those three. It's just, I don't know. And don't get me wrong, like any team, you could say that you're going to get 120 for none off of six overs with those three, well, two of those boys batting, but you could lose two in the first over, but like, that's a risky take. It's better that than being 30 for one off of five overs and Brendan McMullen's just eating. What did he face? Five balls today? Nothing. Seven balls already? Nothing. And that's not a go at Brendan McMullen, because I know that the next game he plays, hopefully he does score 90 off of 30 balls. But I'm just saying that, I know I get stuck on one player in particular. It was Wallace, and now it's Leeske.
Unsurprisingly, they both were teammates of yours at club level.
Yeah, but that's
both destructive bats.
Mate, I've just said Ollie Hayes deserves a run. I would never play for Grainger Watsonians.
I'm winding you up. I'm winding you up with that. But I mean, it was only
Hoggy, you wouldn't get selected for Grainger Watsonians.
Hey, like, Watsonians, they'd take me in a heartbeat.
They'd take you in 3 years' time if you in a single game. But no, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Ollie Hayes and Brandon McMullen were scoring 127 and 96.
I know.
Italy. So you talk about you want to see consistency and give guys a run. I don't know how much you're speaking to Leeske, but I mean, I don't know what he sees his role as. And
I've never asked him.
I haven't spoken to Michael properly in 20 years, but or 15 years. But the point is, I don't know if he's like, well, I just want to be a closer. I know he's a pretty kind of like, he's probably just thrilled to be playing for Scotland, because that seems to, he gives that impression across. But I mean, maybe he needs to step up and say, look, I want to be three or whatever it is, because maybe he's busy saying, I can close out. I'm always good in the last seven overs. Give me the last seven overs. I don't know.
Yeah. It just does my nothing. It's like, it's because good, it's he's, good the that you care, at, he's the it's best. He's the best at hitting sixes. I will hold him to the back end. Like, nah, doing it all wrong. Let fucking Richie do that. They're all good players. It's like, just give Leeske, just let him go out and be a mentalist at the top, and he'll do it. He'll do something stupid. Like score 100 in like four overs or something.
He would
imagine. Well, Pete, you'll prove me right next week at the Cartema Oval in the T10 Euro Finals. Michael Leeske 100 in four overs. I'm calling it.
it's like Aaron. See, if you strip it back and make it dead basic, if Leeske's is destructive in the last 14 overs when the boundary rounders are out, then why would he not be more effective when there's only two of them out in the first six and the ball's flying?
But more time to think about it when he's got 17 overs rather than seven, though, you know?
I honestly don't think he thinks about it any time in the game.
Probably.
But obviously you spoke about it earlier, Hoggy, and you spoke about the real action, the real cricket this week that we've all been glued to, which was the mighty forfeiture off what is the official name? Is it European Champions Cup or something like that? In the Cartama Oval in Spain, La España. I know we spoke about T10 cricket before, right? And Pete, you did touch on this. Sport is important when it's got meaning. But that finals day's cricket, I'm telling you, if anyone on here is listening, what a day's cricket that was, by the way. That was unbelievable stuff.
Cricket in inverted commas, but still unbelievable competition. But I mean, our WhatsApp
was amazing.
Firing that, wasn't it?
get it published.
Just couldn't. Yeah, that needs to go out. Like, I just couldn't. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing because, like, it is obviously nonsense cricket, and it's like playing on a football pitch when AstroTurf round the 18-yard box. But it was just like, it was captive. Like, I couldn't not watch it all day. And Force just kept turning up and beating these guys, and got all the way to the final and won it. And obviously spoke to quite a few that are there. You know, they must have had about 50, 60 from the club over watching.
Easy, yeah.
And it just looked class. Like, I would have loved to have been there.
You boys must be thrilled. A pair of you, as Sports alumni, not just alumni, but esteemed, you know, legends of the club in some respects. And I know your pair of you are both very humble about it, but... Geez, you know, I mean, what a thrill! I've slagged off T10 to the hill, and I will continue to do so because I just think, do you know what? It's such a leveler, and that's what I don't like about it. But the fact that it's just artificially leveled up in a way that it just makes it a fucking nonsense. But that was captivating today, and it must be great for you boys to see, particularly guys that you played with and were part of a sport as being the kind of dominant forces in that particular team. I mean, yeah, are you still in some Forbes groups? Were you not getting much chat going on there? Were you not like going wild in those WhatsApp groups?
Mainly just me, Hoggy and my brother's chat. We'd booted out the rest.
Nah, I've been booted out then, Pete, for not getting invited to social events by certain Dr. Umair Mohammed.
He was there. There was too much.
Nah, of course he was. Cheerleader. Just changed the badge on his polo shirt from last year when he was there with Carlton. Unbelievable. But he wasn't the worst dressed there. Did you see Andy Wallace? Cotton Eye Joe.
Amazing. I think there was an annual bank managers conference next door, and Andy just popped in for us on the cricket.
I don't know. Was Ian Sim there?
No, mate. He couldn't go.
Is that why Andy was dressed like that? Just, out of respect for Ian Sim, straight off a combine harvester. That's incredible. That's so good.
Nah, but on a serious note, you touched on it. Pete, there was obviously a couple of players that we've kind of played with, and two in particular, Callum Garden, who's how old's Callum now then? Oh, he'd be out of 20s, 21, 22 maybe, but he had a couple of brilliant knocks in the semi-final and the final. He's a brilliant keeper, knocks. We all know that. Brilliant hands, but he just started bashing out of the park towards the end when pretty much it all settled on his shoulders to kind of see it through, but I know his mum and dad were both there. I think it was his mum's birthday. His granny and granda were there. His uncle and auntie were there. The full Garden squad. Aye. Like, his brother was there as well. I saw Ben. So, it's brilliant to see. Like, and you kind of forget about boys like that and how good they can be and how good they probably should have been. Don't really bang that drum too much, like, but it's just class. It's just the class days cricket, I must admit. There's some decent players out there as well, though, Hoggy. Like, there was some decent oppos. Like,
I that fielding display from the German team, that was some top drawer stuff. But
like, it was
like, I mean, to watch, like, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're like. Liam said there are some good players in there. That is it Nazir who opened the batting for the German team. He wasn't just like gubbing it. Like, you could probably say that some of Wally's shots are like agricultural and suited to that level of cricket. He was just gubbing it. That boy was like just hitting like proper shots. It wasn't like he was premeditating, I'm going to hit this over cow. He just stood there and waited for it and just hit it where it was supposed to go and just hit it hard. I thought he was brilliant to watch. And what's his name? Jane, the bowler for VOC. Yeah. Brilliant. And I mean, I just thought it was class. Dino's knocks in the semi-final and the final. Like, Force's batting was top-heavy. It was top-heavy, as you could see from the final four balls of the final when Hoagie came in. Did you see it? Pete, did you watch all that?
You know I watched it because me and you were messaging each other at the time. And I was like, what is going on? Wow.
See when he missed the second one, I genuinely thought, my internet's gone and it's jumped back. and then it went again. I was like, what's going on here? It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, but sorry. So the Force batting lineup was very like top heavy and it was reliant on Wally or Dino. I know Scampi did it in one of the games, but just to sort of, even just to be there, because there was spells, I know it's only 10 overs, but there are still spells like overs and a half or whatever, 10 balls where you aren't going to score heaps of boundaries or you're just going to knock it about. I just thought Dino just class, mate. He could easily have shit himself and made the mistake and he's gone. But, well, maybe not against the Germans because they would not have caught it. But, like, it was just brilliant. It's honestly so good.
Yeah.
So good. And, we've played with a lot of those boys, but the boys, even the boys that we haven't played with, like the boy Lewis James, brilliant, mate. Just bowling muck. Like, you can't line that up, no matter who you are. Like, if that's on a road at Lords, you can't line that up because he doesn't know where it's going. And then Jamie King's the same, just like, run up, let it go. Hopefully, yeah. Don't get tammed. Like, and they bowled really important overs in like tight spells. Like, I remember Hoagie got twatted in that over, and it was like he actually bowled like three or four good balls. they're just in the slot, and then he comes on and bowls that over. It's like getting saved. Like he's going to bowl a double bouncer wide, and the boy hits it, and it goes straight to cover, and it's a dot. It's like how what is this cricket? Is madness.
But, exactly my point, Hoagie.
But mate, it's brilliant. No, it's brilliant. I think it's so good to watch. Like,
it is great to watch. And why, in my opinion, it's great to watch because it's got meaning, because you could care about it, because it's Forfarshire, because they're representing your club,
yeah,
you know, and your country. I think that's why sport is so good, is when it's got meaning. And that's what and you're right about Lewis James. In that semi-final, he bowled brilliantly, and brilliantly in terms of, you know, two overs, 2 for 13, and they were good. He just hit a good length, yeah? And then the next game, he got absolutely cast.
Did he?
Couldn't even run in. And it's like the kind of highs and highs to low lows so quickly in that. Like, I mean, like Jack Hogarth, he bowled, you know, he got absolutely twatted in the semi-final. He bowled pretty well in the final. And then he's going out to bat. He's swinging from the hip, but he can't fucking get anywhere near it. And then he crashed. The shot he won it with was a beautiful shot, just wide a point for four. I'm thinking, this is fucking madness. This is madness. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
It was mad. But it does show you how, like, I must admit, it is like the quickest games to change. Like, I don't know if it was the very first game when they played the Maltese lads, or if it was the second game against the Germans, but the team got off to a flyer, and then Jamie King came on, bowled like an over, got like a double wicket maiden, or like two, you know, it was like 2 for 1 or 2 for 2.
Yeah.
And just like got rid of their two best batsmen. And then it's like absolute jokers coming with the bat after, once you get to like 5, 6 and below, it was nothing.
No, it was the Maltese. The game. It was the Maltese team.
Was it Zalmi? Goes with Zalmi.
So that must have been very first innings of the finals
mm-hmm.
day.
Because mm-hmm.
they chased, that was when Wally was 90 odd, like, wasn't it?
Yeah. Aye. Yeah.
It's just bonkers. Like,
I loved it. I loved it. More T10. Aye.
Nah,
another one, right? Like, Hoagie got hit for 3 sixes in a row, but like looking at his demeanor, you almost wouldn't know it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was just like, he's obviously experienced at playing T10 cricket. And it was like, he was like, that's fine. You can hit me for three sixes because I could just go and get three wickets here, like without even bowling a good ball. Like it's that type of, it's, I don't know. It was interesting to watch. Like, absolute it's like one, lunacy.
It's like one of them. You used to say this, Hogg, like it's important that you get in and out of an over.
I used to think that
like if you play against these cricketers, if you can get into the over and go like dot dot or dot one or 1-1 in that cricket, like you're onto a winner. Like, but see if the ball just like disappears first ball, you're like, oh shit. This could be 36 here. This could be six sixes all day.
My way of getting into an over was like 2 wide 4. That'll do. But that's the thing. You're right. These guys are experienced. I'm thinking Callum Garden and Jack Hogarth, they both played for Scotland, didn't they? As well as
They've played a fair bit out there.
Who else played well? Lyle Robertson. They kept calling him Robinson.
Yeah.
And one of the commentators kept calling him Robinson the whole fucking way he's bowling. It's like, are you joking? It's on the screen. It says Robertson.
There was a Robinson in the side, though, isn't there? There's a Robinson in the side.
Yeah, he also bowled offies, but like...
Not in the game.
He doesn't bat like that. Lyle Robertson hit some unreal shots.
Oh, mate. Those, like, sixes to just, like, take the sting out of it in the final. I was just like...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying about
how, just hit it and stopped. You see the one where he just kind of, like, stopped in a swing and just let it go? I was like,
He hit one first ball in one of the games for four. I think it was off that boy, Jane. He cleaned up Wally. And Wally just, like, tried to gub it. It was disgusting. Like, he was never going to hit it in a million years. He obviously tried to line him up and was miles off it. And then Lyle came in next ball and he stepped across his stumps. The boy just bowled the same ball. It was literally, like, on middle stump. And he just, like, flicked it for four. It's like, that's the fucking way to play it. Like, so good. Yeah, he hit some great shots. He batted well, actually, Lyle. And, like, just in partnerships. He probably didn't get the big scores like the other boys, but he contributed just as much. Like, tremendous.
Yeah. Well done. And, if you can be really bothered, like, go back and have a little look at it on YouTube and watch some of those games because we're mental.
Watch next week, the finals week. Monday to Friday.
Yeah. They'll be doing a...
Hopefully I get sent offshore to do nothing so I can sit and watch European Cricket League offshore on a TV room with a bunch of absolute just scaffolders from Middlesbrough just like, the folks, it's not, turn this shit off.
Oh, well done anyway. Right, any more to add, gents?
Mate, have you ever honestly sat and watched like the fucking champions of Serbia play cricket against the champions of Malta? I sat and watched an innings of that. It's like, what's going on?
What am I doing?
Oh dear.
I think it should be. We need to get in touch with this boy. Who's the boy who owns the European Cricket League? The Aussie?
Daniel Weston.
Just start a T10 league in Edinburgh. Mate, imagine how good that would be. Mm. In the meadows, somewhere where there's like randoms walking past and just
have it.
Trial it for a summer.
Set
fire to 500 grand. It's probably nothing to him. But he'd make his money back in 10 years.
He's done well. loss for 19 years in a row.
Imagine the scenes in the meadows. Like one bleacher at each end.
Look, I'll have you. You're not wrong. I do it during the Edinburgh Festival. This was my proposal. When I interviewed for Cricket Scotland years and years ago, I said that the Scottish Cup final should be played on the meadows in the middle of the festival. So, you know, with sponsors all around it and tents all around it.
That's a great shout.
But not the cup final, but like a some sort of like exhibition game, Scotland A versus Scotland B, or whatever you want to do, or something along those lines. But can you imagine it? Get a big company sponsoring it with gin or beer or something like that, or and like right at the hub of where the festival is. I appreciate you'd have to have a curator, a proper pitch creator, because the pitch is fucking awful and there's dog shit around the outside.
But just get a drop in.
But yeah, get a drop in and throw it all and roll it all and stuff like that and make it into a big song and a dance. They didn't take my idea, but I think that's a great idea. Maybe do the T10 there. But again, the thing about T10 to level it out, it's got to be on a plastic pitch and it's got to be with short boundaries and it's got to be with some sort of wind ball by the looks of things that they're using. I don't fucking know what it is, but
is it not a real cricket ball?
It is a real ball, of course. It's a real ball, but it just
it's a smaller than the normal one though. Hoagie told me that. Yeah, mate.
There you go. Yeah.
Probably. But Pete, thank goodness they didn't take you up on that, and thank goodness they didn't employ you, because then you couldn't be on half-foot middle with the leads.
I pretty much
employed.
Company man. Not at all. No. It's a good point. This was 10 years ago at least. So yeah, geez, I could be best mates with Gus Mackay right now.
Wow. Right, here's to another 50, gents. Here's to another 50.
Hang, we'll get there quicker than this 50.